Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey guys, I want to welcome you to our More Than That, a time where we just go and look back on the sermon that we heard on Sunday. And right now we are going through the Book of Psalms. And this Sunday we had Chris Wolf, our worship director, preach on Psalm 95, and of which, man, everybody's been telling me he did an amazing job. And I think he did an awesome job. And then they were like, listen, you need to just sit down and let him preach all the time. And I was like, you know what? This is good.
You know what? At least we have an honest congregation. You know?
Yeah. So anyway, so Psalm 95, and Chris, thank you so much for taking time. And I know just like the work that you put into that. And so thanks so much for that.
Yeah, it was a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. So Chris, we always have one question on the front of this podcast. And it's always this one question. Man, if you had 10 more minutes, it's never a problem with me because I could really take 10 more, 15 or 20.
We know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so if you had 10 more minutes, assuming there was like other things that you had to cut off from your sermon, or even maybe things that were brewing or stewing even after the sermon, and you were like, man, maybe God was working in you, and you're like, man, I wish I had gotten into that. What would it be?
I think the one thing that comes to mind, it really came to mind when I first thought about, you know, what's something that I didn't get to say that I would have liked to say. And it's kind of funny because when I began approaching this passage, it was actually the first thing to come to mind. Yeah. But then when I really kind of dove into it and like laid all the groundwork, somehow, some way it kind of slipped by and I never really got into it.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that worship is for us something that is actually supposed to bring joy and be joyful, you know. Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. Worship is as much as it is for God's glory, it's for our joy. I think it was like 2 years ago or something like that, I read A Peculiar Glory by John Piper, and he talks a whole lot about God's glory and its magnificence and what it really means to us as believers and the interplay between us giving God glory and God receiving glory and how that's actually a joy for both of us. It sounds a whole lot like us just giving, and God taking, but our worshiping God is actually our receiving joy.
Yeah.
And our we receive just as much from glorifying God as he does, if not more so. The one like there was an excerpt from that book. It was in the 12th or 13th chapter, I believe. He said, "Sin has dethroned the glory of God as our supreme treasure and pleasure, but it has not destroyed the God-shaped template that this dethronement left behind."
Huh.
So, like, the way he kind of describes it is there's a glory-shaped hole in all of us, and the reason why we're always seeking something to worship is because it's built into us. It's built into our very beings. Mm. And so when sin removes us and separates us from God, we have to seek out something to worship, but there's nothing that matches the glory that's supposed to belong in that place.
That's good. Yeah. That's good, man. That's good. And I liked I like that because even Piper kind of goes forward and he says that we are most satisfied, as in like we are most satisfied when God is most glorified.
Yeah.
Like that literally, that it is for us. And I think you used even an analogy of precipitation, like the whole idea.
Yeah, the rain cycle, the evaporation and condensation, it all kind of feeds into itself.
Yeah. That's, so a ton of times we are looking at it as if God needs it. He needs our worship, but God doesn't really need anything from us.
It's more accurate to say we need God's worship.
Yeah. So we need. And so I like that. I like that. And there was a couple of times when you mentioned towards the end, and that really kind of just like maybe just resonated with me. And with this, like, I'm probably going to even... maybe even throw this one thing at you, because you've done an excellent job at really every week. People do not see the work that you put in into the sets, like into it's not like you have literally like this automatic song choosing machine at home that you like run through, and then you're just like, oh yeah, I guess we're gonna sing this one and this one and this one. For those that do not know, Chris always knows the calendar way before the preaching calendar, and so he goes, he studies the text, and then he walks through, and really just begins to seek God on what songs to sing. So as you were just kind of even talking through this, like, what I probably would want to find out from you, you say this, that worship fosters obedience, and then obedience fosters even more worship. That's precipitation once again. And then you used even an example of you serving your wife.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, like, you're doing, but then she's doing, and then that's actually like a really an amazing synergy that's there.
Yeah.
That just like, it's like love is kindled in that.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk us through some of the things that, like, as you prepare songs every single week, as you, how is this sermon even just capturing even some of the things that you... Like, you get to preach at least once in a while. This was a debut, right? So, but like, you lead us a lot in song, and not only that, just in shepherding us and shepherding, especially on the singing aspect of worship. What are some of your biggest dreams in light of this sermon, and then in light of what you do every single week, that you're like, man, This would be something that we want to see even happen when we engage in these acts of worship every single week?
Yeah. So I think, there's an idea that music is a very moving, emotional, powerful experience, you know? A lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, especially with the more traditional songs, there's rhyme written into it.
Yeah.
There's specific meters that go to it. And so these things are kind of like memory devices in a way, a lot of times. And so, you know, it's interesting. Like, we might sing for 30 minutes, and you might preach for 40 to 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're, you know, walking back to their cars, they're probably not going to be quoting you in their head. If anything, they might be humming along to one of the songs, you know? And so, in a way, there is a little bit of pressure on me to be the one that makes sure whatever points you are making, whatever points the scripture is making,
that's good.
I want to try and find something that fits into that same lane, so that my ability to cause people to remember things doesn't overshadow
what
we heard from the word. Because ultimately, the word is the thing that we're here for. You know, the fact that we get to praise together is a wonderful thing. But if we had to cut worship or preaching, hearing from the word, we'd cut worship. Not because worship isn't important, but because the primary purpose of us coming together is to learn the word together. You can worship in your car on the way home or on the way to church.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That is good. That's what, there was John Wesley and Charles Wesley, right?
Mm-hmm.
In charge of the, I think it was the Second Great Awakening, where they, people used to say this, that if it wasn't the sermons of John Wesley, it was the songs of Charles Wesley got you. Because, like, you never knew that, like, you know, you never knew, like, you're here, you are, you're in the shower, and a song has a way of just totally, like, hijacking, like just, you know what I mean?
It
like,
just pops in.
It just pops
and
in.
It's and there. I mean, you can even sing something around somebody else, and that person will go, oh, great, now that's what I'm going to think of for the rest of the day, you know? So Charles Spurgeon
said
he was famous for including, like, stanzas from hymns in his sermon.
In his sermons,
because he knew if there's only one thing they're going to remember when they leave, it's going to be
that one. I think that's what I love about Charles Spurgeon. And then even A.W. Tozer does a ton of that. Like so much hymns in his books. And
absolutely. It's the way that Packer ends all of his chapters and knowing God, you know, they're just such powerful tools.
Yeah. Which is now, like, very so important for me, as well as just thinking worship fosters obedience. That, like, so, yes, there's a song aspect of that, and then, but also, there's really deep within, there's a desire of watching people being immersed in God's truth.
Yeah.
And that God's truth then bears fruit, that it's going to result in obedience. And then that obedience is going to cycle back into even more worship.
So I
love that. We always have one question, a couple of questions that people have asked. So there's one that actually was asked this Sunday, and I probably just would love you to kind of unpack this a little bit. This was a question from someone. It says, having addressed during the sermon the difference between worship and praise, and those and the close affinity between worship and obedience, do you think it is possible to tease out the differences between worship and obedience? Is there obedience that is not worship? If so, how do we avoid this? That's a very good question. So how would you respond to that?
I would say, yes, it is something that can be teased out. doing so might take a lot more than even the time that I spend preaching on Sunday.
Yeah.
Even more time than you can spend preaching on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think the essence of it comes down to worship and obedience. When I was going over the differences between praise and worship, one of the things that I made
that
a point to
good,
say
yeah.
was that praise is often a part of worship, but it isn't worship in and of itself.
Yeah.
I think that worship and obedience can be the same thing. You know, those Venn diagram, the circles in that Venn diagram are very close to being exactly on top of each other.
Yeah.
But they're not always exclusively tied to each other.
Yeah.
They are the same thing a lot, especially depending on how you look at it, but they also are different in a lot of senses. I think worship, for example, when we think about worship, there is a lot of stuff going on internally with us in worship. A lot of the commands to worship in Scripture are, like, actual activities.
Yeah.
You know, it's saying, come worship, and there's something going on. There's an actual event, you know? So I think we could say that worship is something that you set aside time for.
Yeah.
And obedience is much more about adopting a way of life, you know? It's not just, you know, it's not necessarily a to-do list so much as it is, as I live my life, I'm going to make sure I adhere to these principles, you know? You don't have to set aside time to obey God.
Yeah,
it's just going to happen organically. Worship can happen organically, but sometimes it happens very specifically.
You know,
obedience is much more driven by just the way that you live your life. There may be hard circumstances where you do have to sit down and decide, I'm going to obey God here. But ultimately, it should be something that just happens. And I also think, you know, to address the question, is there times when we obey that isn't worship? Well, of course there are. Yeah. When I was driving over here, I was on the highway and the speed limit said 55 miles an hour, and so I drove 55 miles an hour. Not because I wanted to, but because, not because I think that traffic laws are fabulous.
Yeah.
I did it because I don't want to get pulled over and get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a sense in which we can, our obedience to God can be purely out of this sense of, well, I don't want to get in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
And I think when we're approaching it with that kind of a heart, with that kind of an attitude, that's not really worshipful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. One last question would be, man, like, I know you wanted probably to tease this out a little bit more. Just the warning of Psalm 95.
Yeah.
Was warning against having what? Hard hearts.
Yeah.
You know? What are just some, like, maybe just some of the tips that, like, at least you can give towards, man, this is at least, like, even, these are some of the things that at least, like, can really help soften your heart. Because at the end of the day, worship is hindered by hard hearts, right? Yeah. And we're going to be looking at more of the hardening hearts this coming Sunday. But, like, just, like, if you were to kind of give, like, at the top of your mind, what are just some of the things that, like, man, like, you know, I know you dug in deep into this. You went back into the Exodus community and stuff like that. Yeah, so if you can just speak to that, like, what are just some of the things that you see as things that harden the heart versus actually soften the heart?
Mm-hmm. I think for one thing, and this is kind of coming back a little bit to the difference between praise and worship,
yeah,
is that sometimes people have a tendency to resist worship when the praise doesn't really mesh to their liking.
Yeah.
People say things like, oh, I wasn't really into worship today, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, why? Why weren't you into worship? Yeah. You know? I'm not into taking out the trash, but that doesn't mean that there's not a bag sitting by the door that's got to go out before the dump truck comes. Not to equate worship with a chore necessarily, but worship is a responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just because a mode by which you're executing it doesn't really, you know, it's not your favorite thing, doesn't mean that you just get to skip out.
Yeah.
And so I think when we kind of approach worship as an activity, when we do approach worship as praise, because we do conflate the two a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a tendency to forget this is a responsibility that I actually have.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to be the one that is offering a sincere worship to God, whatever the praise looks like.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So if I don't like the praise, great. That doesn't mean that I'm allowed to just disengage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's one way, is just remembering the praise doesn't matter as much as the worship.
Yeah.
You know, you're still called to worship even if the praise is a little too loud or a little too quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I think another thing that we can think about, just ask God to soften your heart.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the reason that we can't get into those things, you know, we can identify when we're held back from those things.
Yeah.
If we're attentive, we can identify when we don't seem to be getting into that stuff.
Yeah.
And we can ask God to soften our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, that He wants to do that. He's the one that is primarily responsible for softening our hearts. Of course we can go ask Him to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I think the last way that we can do this, read the passages where hard hearts come up in Scripture and look at the way that God responds.
Yeah.
And look at the way that those people live their lives and the attitudes that they have. You know, when we remember how terrible it is to have a hard heart.
Yeah.
The Israelites that we saw in Exodus were one example of that. But it goes, you know, there's many other examples as well. When we harden our hearts, all we're really doing is really just saying, you know, come at me. Show me what you got.
Yeah.
Which is a really dangerous thing to do with God, because He'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that. That's really good. That is really good. Just to think about, and just to think about even reading Hebrews. Because, like, this is like when I was listening to your sermon, just going to the Hebrews side of things, like, that's now in the New Testament where the author of Hebrews is warning them, like, guys, just remember, just make sure that, like, and then he's quoting even, for example, Psalm 95.
That he's addressing it.
Yeah, exactly. He's addressing that. And to think about that, that community that the author was writing to was taking preferences and experiences and exalting them above actually Jesus himself, which is actually like, it's about Jesus, the Son of God. But they were valuing the law, they were valuing Moses, they were valuing angels, they were valuing all those things. And in fact, the book of Hebrews, the theme is that Christ is better.
Yeah.
That Christ is the supreme. He's better than...
He's better than the angels. He's better than the priests. He's better than the animal sacrifices, all of it.
Yeah. So, which is actually like, at the end of the day, worship is hindered when we focus on lesser than focusing on Jesus the better.
Exactly.
That's
every time that you think in your head, oh, the music could be a little quieter, I can't really hear myself saying, you're now taking away from the main focus, which is Jesus.
That is good. That is good.
I get that you can be distracted.
Yeah.
But since when are distractions a good reason not to engage in responsibility?
Yeah, that's good. Especially something that's good for you.
Exactly.
Something that's good for you. And that's one of the reasons why we put, even on a Sunday morning, we know that there's a million things going on, but then we put a scripture underneath.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, hey, listen, if this is not the song that comes out of your favorite Christian radio station and all of a sudden you have no idea where this song came from, just because we intentionally plan, hey, why don't you use this time to think on the scriptures.
Yeah.
Meditate on God. And then all of a sudden you will actually just be back on track and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, Chris, man, thank you so much for just for this time, and thank you so much for your labor, not only just on Sunday, but every Sunday, man. I know you hardly get a million thank yous, but I really, really appreciate what you do and just leading our people, not only just in song, but also really just serving in that area. So thank you so much. For everyone, thank you so much for joining us. For More Than That, we hope this was a blessed time for you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye.